This morning's sermon title is, What Does Amen Mean? Let me repeat that. What does Amen mean? The scripture reading comes from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14. That's Revelation chapter 3, verses 14, and I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things say Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, Brother Norman.
Truly, God has been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to be able to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service this morning. On behalf of me and my wife, we appreciate and thank you for your prayers. On our behalf, if we travel on last week to utilize a former elder there at the Johnson Street Church of Christ in Benton, Arkansas. And God gave us traveling grace just to make it back here safely. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Lord, we just thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Heavenly Father, as we're about to go into our study today, Lord, we just focus upon your word and what it has to say to us and in our situations. And Lord, we just pray that the things that we say that will be an encouragement and be a teaching to all of those who are here this morning. But Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I travel throughout the brotherhood, I found that a lot of things that divide the church has nothing to do with doctrine. Individual Christians will often differ over matters of conscience, matters of certain liberties. And many divisions should never happen because the Lord has given us much information in the scripture about how to relate to others who have different perspectives and practices. When you look at the word amen, amen is found 72 times in the Bible. Amen is the last word in the Bible. Revelation 22 and verse 21. Amen is a word that is used in public worship. We say it after a prayer. We say it after a communion prayer. We say it after a closing prayer. But when you hear it said, and when you say it, what do you understand it to mean? Because we got to understand, and if people ask us why we do and what we do, we have to be able to help them to understand why we do what we do. And so, when you hear it, what does it mean to you? For some reasons, some congregations think it's wrong to say amen in worship. But if saying amen is wrong, then it's wrong after the prayer, it's wrong after the communion, and it's wrong after the closing prayer. And many think it's wrong for different reasons. Number one, reasons could be that it has not been studied or it has not been taught. Reason could be the misuse of it. Yes, we can use this word in a haphazard fashion. Overzealous Christians are tempted to say amen where there is nothing to say amen to. Amen to a point that they do not understand, but do so simply out of habit. If someone hurts us and says something to us that they didn't like, and the preacher or the teacher came down your street and said something that you could use to get back at that person, and you look over that person that you had a problem with and you just loudly say amen. That's the wrong use of the word amen. That's why, church, it's so important. It's so important to teach and to educate. We need to recognize that people are at different stages in their spiritual development. And that's why the Bible gives us some examples. It gives us some illustrations on how do we deal with situations that has nothing to do with doctrine. There was a problem Paul had in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 3 that Paul had to deal with. When you look at Romans 14 and verse 3, he's dealing with the weak and he's dealing with the strong, and he's talking about eating meat and drinking and the holy day. And notice what he says in verse 3. He said, "Let not him that eateth despises him that eateth not. And let not him who eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him." And so what is he saying? What Paul is saying is the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. These people, you have to understand, these are Christians, but it was not over doctrinal, but it was over their conscience. It was over how they see it. These people had concluded that what was wrong for them was wrong for everyone. What was right for them was right for everyone. And we must realize what is best for us may not be best for everybody. And when differences like this occur, even when saying amen, we are tempted to look down on each other with contempt. Because the person who can eat meat with a clear conscience, who can say amen, is likely to view the weaker brother as immature, overly traditional, not living in grace. But on the other hand, the one who cannot eat the meat, who choose not say amen with a good conscience, would tend to judge the one who does as immature, worldly, loose, unconcerned with holiness. And one of the reasons that this is so important to understand weak is that we must remember that we are all weak in one way or another. And we need to understand this will help us to treat each other with grace. We all have areas in our lives in which our conscience restricts us. Areas in which we will be tempted to judge others. But listen to me, regardless of whether we say amen or not, we have to be respectful. We have to be considerate of one another's worship to God, that all of our worship, whether we say amen or not, is pleasing and acceptable to God. We need to warmly and respectfully give one another freedom in non-existent areas. But listen to me, here's a warning. Don't take that freedom to the extreme that it can become a distraction. We have too many. We have to remember that people are at different stages in their spiritual development. And we must leave room for people to grow and be fully persuaded in their own mind. Look at verse 5 of Romans chapter 14. Notice what he says. He said, one man esteem one day above another. Another esteem every day alike. Let every man be put fully persuaded in his own mind. So this morning, we're going to teach and we're going to educate on the question, what amen means. Now, in order to teach and educate, you got to have your word. Do everybody have their Bible? Or you got it on your phone? Because you're going to have, we got to follow along with scripture, because that's what we're dealing with. Amen? Scripture. And so let's look at scripture. The first mention of the word amen in the Bible is found in Numbers chapter 5 and verse 22. Let's go look at it. Because what you're looking at in Numbers chapter 5 and verse 22 is law regarding the Nazarite, the women, because they were given some instructions. But notice, after the instructions and after the law was given, notice what they had to reply with in verse 22. And this water that cursed that causes the curse shall go into our mouth, in other, if they hadn't done right, to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. Amen, write this down. It literally means so be it. It literally means a so it is. The word is the word of the Hebrew origin. It originated in the Hebrew scriptures as a reply of confirmation, and is found in Deuteronomy as an affirmative response that is made by the people. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 15 through verse 26, you're going to see the word amen found 12 times in these verses. After each verse, it says, amen. And so, furthermore, we see it there in Numbers. We see it 12 times in Deuteronomy. But then when you go look in Chronicles, in the book of Chronicles, it is designated in 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 36. It is designated that near 1000 B.C., that the word is used in the religious meaning, with the people responding amen to receiving the blessings. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 36. And so what do amen mean? Amen, it signifies the idea of truthfulness, faithfulness, and certainty. This amazing word is used in two different senses. Number one, the first meaning conveyed the thought that the thing said was most assuredly and most certainly true. This word was used to emphasize important truth. This word means that what I am about to say or have said is specially and exceedingly important. It is true and faithful and commands your special attention. The word was used also to assert and affirm truthfulness. It was used to affirm exceedingly important truths. But then the second meaning, it was a statement of faith, hope, and confidence in God. When we hear the truth of God's word, we declare and we agree with it, and we can respond with amen. When we pray, we conclude with a firm amen, because we are confident that our prayers have been heard. Our God is at work, and the best response to our petition is already in the making. For when we say amen, we are saying, Lord, we agree. What are we agreeing to? We agree with your will and your ways. We agree that you are God, and beside thee there is no other. We agree with your statute and your precepts. For the Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 105 that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We agree that you formed and you fashioned and you created everything that was created from the Bible. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We agree that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalms 24 and verse number 1. And so you and I need an intellectual understanding of what thus said the Lord. Now, if amen means to agree, then I can't agree with something I don't know and I don't understand. So we have to study. You and I, we have to get this word in our head. That's why Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But watch this. Jesus himself used this word more than any other teacher in the Bible. Whenever Jesus said something, especially that was important, into which he would throw his full weight of his authority, he asserted it by the doubling of the word. Amen. Amen. Now watch this. Some translators use the word verily, verily, or most assuredly. Let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 3. Be turning there. Because whenever you see these words, you should know that he is saying amen, amen, and you are to give very close attention to what he is saying. In John 3 and verse 3, he says, verily, verily, which means amen, amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. When Nicodemus questioned his meaning, Jesus answered again, in verse 5. Verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto thee, that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. To see the kingdom and enter the kingdom means the same thing. By this amen, amen statement, Jesus taught the entire world that unless they are immersed and are brought to faith and repentance by the Holy Spirit, that they cannot enter the kingdom of God and be saved. But then, another impressive thing about this word is that it is an Old Testament term and a New Testament term. One example of this in the Old Testament, let's go to Psalms 106 and verse 48. Psalms 106 and verse 48. Blessed. See, y'all still turning. I'm giving you time. Psalm 106 and verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. What you find here in this particular text is that this was their way of saying that this is our prayer too. When somebody is leading the prayer, they are leading the prayer on the behalf of the congregation. And so this is our prayer too. In other words, we agree with it. So be it. And so thus it came to be used at the end of a prayer, a sinner's, some important truths, and even after hymns. Let me end. In your book, if you turn to your song book to page 46, there's a song that says, sing amen. So, if we don't agree, if amen is wrong, don't sing that song. Because it says, sing amen. Y'all don't believe? I already looked at it. Is that in page 46? You put them in turning now. Is that in page 46? So I can make sure I got somebody to back me up. Is that in page 46? Sing amen. When you look at song in page 150, the Lord thy God, at the end of it, it says, amen. On page 162, oh Lord, our Lord, it ends with amen, amen. So it came to be used at the end of a prayer, a sinner's, some important truths, and even a hymn. And so the custom of using this word, it passed from the Jewish synagogue into the worship assemblies of the Christians. When prayer was offered in Christian worship assemblies, the other person responded with an amen. But the greatest thing about this word is found in our text today. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. Notice, these things say the Amen. What has we have? Jesus himself took this word as a personal title to himself. He is the Amen. We recognize that. We have already learned that the word is a synonym for true. Faithfulness, so be it, so it is. This word applies to Jesus, meaning he is the truth, the absolute truth. We believe that, amen? We believe he is the truth. He is the absolute truth. So here is the bottom line, church. You and I have to be careful not to judge people who don't see things your way. We got to study. Who don't think like you. Who don't look down on others and looking down on others, condemning others. Paul said something that I want to go back to in the latter part of Romans 14 and verse 3. Notice what he says in the latter part. For God had received him. We look over this particular text. We read it. But we need to slow down and look at it. Paul says, let not him that eateth despiseth him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. He has accepted him. So if God has accepted a brother or sister, then we must do no less. In other words, we should not try to change the one that God has accepted as he is. Because a servant is accountable only to his master. Let that soak in. What they're saying is, we are responsible for our own convictions and not those of our brothers and sisters. We cannot, hear me out, we cannot demand the other brother or sister to conform to our personal prejudice. Our acceptance of others must be consistent with the acceptance that's shown by God. What has happened? I'm just trying to teach and train us. What has happened? And I've seen it. What has happened many times is that we have put restrictions where God has not. We have to be careful by putting restrictions where God has not put restrictions. What happens is, many times we take a scripture out of context and try to make it fit what we want it to fit. And that is wrong. You have to preach it preach it like it is. Amen. Y'all listen. All I was trying to do today was to help us to understand where a man came from and what it means. All it means is so be it. God, you are true. God, you are worthy of all of our praise. And I'm here to tell you, saying amen is not wrong because it's found in the Word of God. It's in the book. I showed you from Scripture. And that's why we have to always back up whatever we talk about. We need to be able to back it up with Scripture. Not what we think, not what we say, but what does the Bible say about it? Because there's too many churches has split, has divided, and was not over doctrinal issues. But it was over personal prophecies. What I see, what I think. I don't care what you see and what you think. What does the Bible see? What does the Bible say about it? That's what I want to know. Show me script. If you can't show me script, then close your lip. Because it's all about it. The Word of God. Y'all, we got to stand on the Word. We got to trust the Word. We got to understand what the Word is all about. If there's somebody here, you understand that God's been good to you. You know that God has spared your life. But notice what He said. Again, in John 3 and verse 3, and it applies to those who have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unless, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. God has laid it out on how we need to come to Him. You heard the word, believe it to be true. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In that, then second, you got to confess or repent. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Go in the water of grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then the Lord adds you. He'll add you to His church. The church that He set up on this rock I build. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church that He purchased with His precious blood. The church He's the Savior of, He's the head of, He's coming back for it. It's not going to be in a spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But it's going to be holy and without blemish. Then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death. And one day, you can go on home and live with Him forever and ever. That's book. That's scripture. Obey it. Obey God. Because this may be the last time you have upon the face of this earth. If you're here a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, now is the time to get it right. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Let us haste for haste to Yeah.